You've got to shoot this bit, Margaret. You've got to shoot it.
Welcome to this very special edition of the Whiteout podcast. And we have been catching up with Ben and Clow, talking about their incredible adventure across the Alps this winter, visiting 24 different ski resorts. I am, of course, here with Dominic Killinger. Hi, Dom. How are you?
Sounds very formal, Rob. Dominic Killinger. I don't think anybody's called me that since my mum or the police were sending me a message to say that I was speeding in Chamonix not long ago by 3 miles an hour.
Challenger.
3 miles an hour over the limit. Can you believe it? And I've been done for speeding. Can't believe it.
Have you?
Yeah.
In Chamonix.
Yeah, in Chamonix.
Do not speed in Chamonix.
I know. But yes, Dominic Killinger here. That's exactly who I am. And we're going to catch up with Ben and Clow doing their 24 in 24, skiing 24 resorts in 7 weeks in 2024. And they're just back, Rob. They're young. They're good looking. They remind me of you and me.
Young. I was young.
Come on, I've seen pictures of you. You look like Chesney Hawks at the time.
Ah, yes. The long hair, the tan, the Varney sunglasses. I had it all.
Let's get over to Ben and Clow and have a chat with them now. Right, guys, so super lucky today to be joined by Ben and Clow. So 24 resorts, 7 weeks, 4 countries. Talk to us about how that experience has gone. What do you feel like now? Your legs must be absolutely shot to bits. Tell me that you're both sitting in wheelchairs at the moment, yeah?
I'm sitting in one of those chairs that's got lumbar support, armrests and everything, so it might as well be.
And a toilet underneath.
Yeah. Maybe one of those bags attached just to help. Yeah. But I think our knees are shattered, aren't they, Glau?
Yes, we can barely move, but we make it work. You know, we're young and we keep pushing, so that's all that matters.
I'm not sure my liver's so young anymore, but it'll survive, I think. We've had a cracking time. Really, really good to see so many resorts in the same season. You really get a feel for how one compares to the other, what's good about some cultures compared to difference, because they are massively different. Yeah. As much as it's ski focused, they have a very different focus on different things in different countries. So it's really nice to observe that. We'll get into a little bit more of that later, I think. Some of the resorts are just incredible.
Yeah. We already picked the one.
How many countries have you been? Let's start with the countries now.
We started with Italy, we went then into France, Switzerland, Austria, ended up in Italy again. Yeah. So still 4, hidden.
So we did a big old circle. So we started in the Italian Alps to be able to get into the French Alps, went over into Switzerland, around Austria in a big loop, starting in St. Anton, Ischgl, and sort of coming all the way around with Saalbach and Kitzbühel and Zell am See. Finishing in Solden before we entered the Dolomites into Livigno, and finished in Madonna di Campiglio and Folgorida, which has been really, really cool. Really enjoyed that.
And Cloud, which is your favourite country?
Favourite country? Well, I'm Italian, so I have to be, you know?
Ben, you're not Italian though, so you don't have to say. You don't have to say Italy.
Okay.
I told all my friends that we met eventually at our last resort in Madonna di Campiglio to do like a one big final resort together, that I really loved Austria.
Yeah.
I was very surprised because I went to Austria when I was very little, and so it's like I never really experienced it. And I was very, very surprised. So
really, I just got back from Austria last night. It's a lovely, lovely little spot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where were you?
Oh, well, this is not about me, Ben. No, this is not about me, but I was in Carinthia. That's all I'm going to say, because this is about you, 24 resorts.
Beautiful. Well, it's one we didn't hit, so we'll have to hear about that a different time then.
Okay. Great little spot. Anyway.
So guys, there's a lot of publicity about the weather out in the Alps, and we've read in some of the national press about resorts that are slushy and wet, no skiing, and you've got to play Scrabble to entertain yourself, or you've got to go to the pub. How would you sum up 7 weeks, 24 resorts, 4 countries from a weather perspective?
I think we had probably 5 out of 7 weeks that were really good.
Wow.
So we were really fortunate that at the beginning of the trip, I think the Alps had had quite a big dump sort of over Christmas and the first week of January around that period of time. So when we got there, I think we had 12 out of 14 bluebird days for the first 2 weeks, which was incredible because there was loads of snow, really good sort of sun and clear skies. So those first 2 weeks were fantastic. And then that sort of held for a couple of weeks. And certainly into Switzerland, we had some really good conditions there. But gradually, I think the whole Alps sort of back end of February was starting to struggle a bit. And sort of the whole of Europe was with warmer conditions, hadn't snowed in a while. So you were finding at times that sort of midday, 1 o'clock, it was turning to slush.
That situation was happening everywhere. Yeah. So it wasn't just one resort problem. So
yeah. But in that worst time then, was there any point in any ski resort that you had to take your skis off and maybe descend in a lift or, you know, walk?
I'll never take my skis off. But did I do my knees some damage to get down a few times? Probably.
Yeah. Tricky conditions lower down sometimes,
right? The good thing about every resort, almost each one of them, is that lifts open pretty soon, like early in the morning, around 7:30. So you can kind of decide, okay, I'm going to ski from personally 7:30, 7:45, whatever that is, and then maybe stop a little bit earlier than expected. Like after lunch, you do one or two slopes and then you go to uppers. That's what we did kind of a lot of resorts.
it's interesting you say 5 out of the 7 weeks were really good. And then two of the weeks were, you know, a little bit variable, I guess.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, the weather's the weather. I mean, if you went to Tenerife for the week, not every day is going to be blazing sunshine. You're going to get cloudy days. And that's what happens, isn't it? The weather is the weather.
And that's the point. But this is why some of these resorts are absolutely fantastic, because they've got other things on offer that can really keep you amused and sort of happy on your holiday, because this is a holiday for most people. And to name drop one, Ischgl, their Silvretta term that's just been sort of built, I think it's the third season they've been in play now.
2 years ago.
Was absolutely incredible. The size of that place is, you will not understand how big it is from the footage that we have taken. It is just enormous for a spa. I've never seen anything like it. You've got a completely one section that is just sauna and wellness. It is only that. And then you've got another section with an indoor pool, an outdoor pool bar.
Just for sauna. It was amazing.
Wow. I thought when you said there were so many other things to do, judging by your profiles, I thought what you meant was apres.
Drinking.
Just that. Just drinking, dancing, falling off tables. That's what I thought you meant by there's lots of other things to do.
They did all of that in Crans-Montana. I mean, they got that out of the way, done and dusted.
We certainly did a lot of that. And we certainly enjoyed the late night party, Rob, up on the top of
there
we go. And it was a revival show that was on till about 3 a.m. in the morning. Started at 11. Never seen anything like it, where you actually have a gondola open to take you up the mountain for a party at that time of night.
We only did that for you.
Time.
You know what? I'll tell you a secret. Don't tell anybody about this, but I fell asleep in the gondola on the way down.
No.
How many people in there? Did you wake up with things drawn on your face?
Yeah.
That's where he is now. He's still not going up.
Just going round in circles.
So what would you say, I mean, in terms of particular highlights, what would you say are you know, real standout moments for you? Because there's bound to be those points where you go to take out your camera and you say, you know what, you're never going to capture this, whether it be a bar, a restaurant, a piste, a run, a whatever, or a snow condition or some dumping snow. What are your standout moments?
I have one. One when we did the Harikiri in Meyhofen.
Okay.
The steepest run in Austria, 78%
gradient, yeah. A very, very steep slope. Well, it's the steepest in Austria for sure. And one of our friends just went down all the way to the end of the first probably 100 meters and got us on camera. And let me tell you that it is a slope for very expert skiers. but everyone just looks like beginners when we are on that slope. So we avoided posting that because we were like, okay,
yeah,
it doesn't look that great. That was very, very hard, but we really enjoyed it. It was one of these that it is a challenge and you're like, okay, I'm gonna do this no matter how, no matter if I fall and I just slid all the way down. Wow. Or if I make it in one piece, that was a big highlight.
I guess it depends on the condition of the slope at the time as well, right? I mean, if it's in decent condition, then that's one thing. If it's a little bit hard that's a challenge for anybody to get down something like that.
And what about you, Ben? What's your standout points?
So I absolutely love Dishkul, one of my favorite resorts. Obviously, the spa that we've mentioned, but we really love the Three Valleys as well. So it's obviously a very well-renowned resort for most British all around the world, but somewhere the two of us hadn't ever been before. Lots of our friends had been there, told us about it, but it was always one of them like, oh, we'll get to it. And then this was the moment we went, and we spent 5 days there and walked around, skied around and walked around Valtorren, Le Minuir, Merivale, Courchevel and Saint-Martin. The hotel in Saint-Martin, in the hotel lodging, was unbelievable. Such a nice place to stay, great spa access, outdoor hot tub overlooking the mountains, and a really quaint village. And we really enjoyed walking around it in the evening. But Valtorren is obviously well renowned for its party atmosphere. They're not hiding it. It's one of the USPs that they're looking to sell. And fantastic time there. You got the Folly Douce, which was really good fun. And we came down, and I think one of the moments of our trip, Clau was in a bar trying to take some footage of, I think it was Cafe Snesco in Valtorren.
Yeah.
And we weren't allowed in because it was so full. And Clau had managed to blag her way in to take some footage. And there's a video of her with her camera up and her feet just give way underneath her. Slides out. She's still got the camera up, and you just see all these men standing over looking at her. Are you all right?
It's testament to a trip when you ask for two standout moments and you list Dishkul and Saint-Martin in the same sentence, because there's probably very few extremes that you could come up with, I guess. I mean, obviously there are very much more sleepier places, but they are two such polar opposite locations. Mm-hmm. And that's incredible that you highlight those two as two standout moments, which is really interesting, actually.
The thing about a 7 week or 8 week trip is you can't party all day long, or you can't have you can, but for us, it was about mixing the trip up, about having some days of relaxation, maybe enjoying the spa, maybe having a nice meal in the evening, enjoying a glass of wine and sort of taking the mountain in. And then also a couple of days of, we're still young, we still like to apres, we like to party a bit. And still managing to do that as well. So that's what I think we've realized. There are some resorts that are perfect for like a chilled out couples holiday, or more of a relaxing time, or maybe somewhere you want to go where you've got young kids so you can spend a bit of a quieter time. And there's resorts where I probably wouldn't go if I had young kids or if I was looking for a quiet time, because that's what some of those resorts are focused on.
You know, Saint-Martin, I went there for the first time a couple of weeks ago myself, and I'd never been there before.
Place.
And it's just such a contrast, isn't it? You know, the big Three Valleys resort is just down the road from Le Minuir and Valtorren, you know, which obviously fantastic ski resorts in their own right. And then you've got this little village. Which feels so kind of authentic. And then there's that great run. Did you ski? You skied down the Jerusalem, the long blue that sweeps. Yeah. It just seems to go on forever and ever and ever. And then it ends up in the little village at the bottom. Very nice. Nice.
Beautiful. There's also a run that takes you from the top of the second gondola, or chairlift, sorry, out of Saint-Martin, all the way down to the bottom of Pont de la Masse in Le Mans. Oh my God, it's beautiful as well, because you've got the whole valley looking to your right. It's like a little pathway that you come along. It was well maintained, and the view was beautiful. We were there on that run for probably somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes. Don't need to stop. Right. Just take it in, because you don't need to go too quickly. And it obviously connects you so well to Le Minuir next door, which that top of the mountain actually is, thinking about one of the highlights of our trip.
Pont de la Masse.
Pont de la Masse in Les Menuires, we did the first tracks one morning, which I think they run every Wednesday morning. Or sometimes, which we were lucky
Like sunsets kind of, sunrise kind of stuff.
Yeah. So we were up there at 7:45. They only allow 40 people up. It's you have a breakfast at the top of the mountain in the cafe there. And you do two runs where it's just the 40 of you. And oh my God, fresh, absolutely fresh tracks. Still got the grooming lines on there. You can really send it down. And the views are just incredible at that time. You haven't got loads of people there, so you can really make it your own. You got the photo spot at the top of Pont de la Masse with the sign Les Menuires. So you can really take your nice photos, take your memories, and then enjoy two runs. So that is something that in future holidays we'll be looking out for. Is there an opportunity to do the first tracks or something slightly different?
Yeah, nice. Okay, right. I'm going to ask you a question. And hang on, there's going to be a caveat to this question as well. What was the most memorable meal you had? And it can't include Italy.
I think we loved the one in Serre Chevalier.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Can we go with top three? We had something.
Top three is good. Well, Serre Chevalier is close to Italy, but I'll give.
Just very across the border.
We were in Villeneuve. We were staying one of the four villages.
Villeneuve.
And it was a little restaurant in the old town, and they basically bring you this tower of meat. It's like a long, how would you describe it? I don't know.
It felt like you were in a fancy kebab house, which is completely not doing the French justice with their cuisine. That's the image you will have in your head. It was like a big skewer with the meat like stabbed onto the spikes.
And then would lit it on fire. Oh. And the fire would last for about 2 minutes?
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, it was just such amazing meat. And then they bring you, obviously, all the sides and
Dauphinois potatoes and a really nice bottle of red wine.
It was a local wine that we loved. And obviously, it's on our list to buy. That was very, very nice meal.
What was the name of the restaurant? Can you remember the name of it or not?
La Manuil.
There we go. La Manuil.
La Manuil.
La Manuil. Oh,
brilliant. We'll put that in the podcast notes. So the other two, then, you've got another two in mind.
Yeah, so one was in Chamonix and one was in Salvac. The one in Chamonix.
That's the kebab, was it? The Chamonix.
That's where he took me.
Because there's a few of those.
God, if that had been the case, I'm not sure I'd have ever heard the end of it. But there was actually two restaurants in Chamonix. One, because we went back there where we got engaged the year before, which was La Calèche. Upmarket restaurant, but it's got
a real high street.
Yeah, exactly that. Mm. But it's got a real alpine feel to it. It's got a beautiful setting out the front with a sled out there, and the fondue in there is incredible. So we really enjoyed that. But then we also went to a restaurant called La Maison Carrière, which did a set menu, three course. I think it was €39, and it was simply spectacular.
Yeah.
It was in this old farmhouse that had been converted, and it was really, really good.
And they are a hotel as well. They have two hotels in Chamonix, and that one is more of like, as Ben said, this farmhouse converted into a livable place. And they did quite like gourmet dishes, like simple, but transforming to a little bit of more of a gourmet vibe. We loved it. It was so nice.
Yeah, there's some amazing restaurants in Chamonix, isn't there? Also, if you fancy a curry, you can get one of those as well, you know, or a kebab.
I like the sound of that.
And then what about your Salvac one?
Salvac,
So we went out just walking around the town of Salvac, and we were like, right, we're going to find a nice spot for dinner tonight. We didn't have a place in mind. It was one of those evenings where we thought, we're not going to look on TripAdvisor or review. We're going to go with the feel. We're going to walk around, look at some menus outside. It's a beautiful town to walk around. You've got some really nice hotels. You've got some out-there bars with sort of alpine outdoor areas with the sort of the furs on the seats and things like that. Really nice. Cute to walk around. And we went in this traditional sort of Austrian Alpine restaurant. I think I just loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
The service was very, very good as well.
Yeah.
Attention to detail, and the inside was just, it looked like a chalet. That's kind of what we like when we are up in the mountains, is it?
Oh, yeah. When you picture Austria, or people that haven't, this was typical mountain sort of local vibes. It wasn't like a fancy, sleek sushi place or anything like that. This was what you would imagine 50 years ago, 100 years ago, with a slightly modern feel to it in terms of it being refurbished. But it was still really original and authentic, and really nice to eat in.
Wow, fantastic.
I think Austria offers so much of those kind of authentic restaurant experiences where you go in and it's all wood and it's all cozy and you've got, you know, traditional dress and all of that sort of stuff. It's hard to beat that, isn't it, when you're in the mountains? Nice
it
and cozy.
Really is. And it feels very homely and like family run. Every restaurant you walk in doesn't feel like a corporate enterprise or anything like that. It's pride and passion of that person that's running the restaurant. And
most memorable meal in Italy then. And just don't say all of them.
Most memorable meal in Italy.
I have it.
Go on.
Mine was in Madonna di Campiglio.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say that.
In this restaurant called La Tana, and they do just amazing meat. I mean, I'm a meat lover. Sorry for all the vegetarians and vegans, but I just love it too much. And they had like probably 10 different cuts that you could pick from. And it was just perfectly cooked. I like it very rare, almost alive.
About my future, but
lovely. We picked two different cuts and it was just amazing. Loved it.
I mean, obviously each resort is so different, and we've seen that sort of spread of you choosing sort of Ishkul and San Martin in the same sentence. Everybody's looking for something different out of a resort, but in terms of just sort of that general feel, that full-on sort of, I suppose, postcard feel of what people think a resort should be like, have you got one in mind that you sort of arrived at and said, do you know what? I just love this place.
I
have it in mind.
Go on.
Mine was probably Les Deux Alpes. I loved.
I was going to say one.
Les Deux Alpes.
Yes, it was very nice. So it's basically spread along one long route. It's 2 kilometers long, but in those 2 kilometers, it's full of bars, restaurants, shops, and what I really liked is that every bar is a restaurant. They have an outside fire. So it looks very cozy. And that's what I really like about resorts, when they're
nice.
Really transmit you the feeling of being in the mountain.
Yeah.
The skiing was amazing. They have a glacier, so it's snowshoe. It is incredible.
It's really interesting you picked that resort up, because I think for people that haven't been to Les Deux Alpes before, and I include myself in that.
Okay.
The image that I have of the town of Les Deux Alpes does not sort of match
100%.
What you have said.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Totally
I
want to
go there now, obviously.
Totally, I know. Totally agree, Rob. That's exactly what I was thinking.
We found that we really enjoyed the fact that it was on one stretch. Instead of being spread like a square or a circle where everything is quite spread out and quite if you're looking for something, then you really have to look for it and walk to that place. Whereas here, depending on where you were staying along that, you were probably one road, maybe two roads back from the main street, and you just walked to it and you walked left or right. And it didn't really matter where you went, because there was such a good array of restaurants and bars. And if you wanted ski rental, well, you had a choice of probably 100. Don't quote me on the number, but it felt like there was that many places selling skis and renting skis. And it was so easy to find your way around that we really enjoyed that.
And it wasn't uphill. Because sometimes, it's true though, sometimes after a full day of skiing, you don't want to walk 15 minutes uphill, do you? Or like to go for dinner and then back. Loved it.
Yeah, of course. And anywhere else, Ben, would you have chosen Les Deux Alpes, or was there
That was certainly one of those resorts that we discovered, and somewhere we would definitely go back to. We were really impressed with that resort. But in terms of sort of an alpine feel or postcard feel to the village, in terms of that, I would also say the old town in Saint-Chevalier Saint-Chamalet. That was really picturesque. You've got this river running through the middle, and you've got proper old school restaurants on either side. They've been there years, really well looked after, and a proper alpine feel to it. So really enjoyed that. And then if we come into Chamonix, obviously it's world renowned. It's a huge town, very different to Les des Alpes in terms of it's spread out. There's things all over the place. But beautiful to walk around because you can spend an hour. The feel of that village is beautiful, but it is a lot bigger, so you can spend a lot more time walking around that.
Yeah.
In St. Anton, we loved the village and the bus network there. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter how big that town is, because there is a bus stop every 100 metres, and it's so easy to get to. So we were coming back from Apres. It didn't matter if you were up the mountain at Moose Fur or Crazy Kangaroo. You just got on the bus and you came back to town. All the taxis there were reasonably priced.
I think it's interesting that spread of places that you've highlighted, that are interesting, and the contrast between someone like Saint-Chevalier and Chamonix. Both are amazing places, and I agree the towns are both incredible, aren't they, in their own ways. And and now a third one, got to explore the Alps clearly. So
we will definitely be going back.
Yeah. 100%.
Really impressed with that resort.
There was something for every taste, really. Like, you wanted to have a chilled dinner. There was a restaurant to have a chilled dinner. You wanted to have a little bit more fancier, and there's that. You wanted to operate until late, or you wanted to go clubbing, because there is a big club, apparently, that hosts also big DJs.
Yeah. I think it's Avalanche.
Avalanche, yeah. And you have that, or like more of a chill drink. You have a lot of bars that you can go to. So I think that we really liked it for that reason.
And so obviously in that period of time, it's almost like you've been season airs. You've experienced all the weather that we've talked about. Where did you get the biggest dump? And obviously this is just luck, so this doesn't make a resort better than any other. But where did you get like snow that was just coming down like footballs coming out of the sky?
The first one was Saint-Chevalier. Okay. The first day that we skied there was incredible, because it was snowing so badly, but there was still great visibility. It was a bit of a weird one. Right. And so we skied still the whole day.
A lot of trees.
That's why. And we skied a lot. I mean, we say a lot in terms of we started at 9, we ended at 4, but we probably did what?
5 runs, 6 runs. I've got an invention idea, and I'm probably going to sell it down the river here, but wipers for your goggles.
They tried that.
We want to do that idea.
They tried all sorts of, and think they
work. Oh my God. I've never had to wipe my goggles with every turn before. And that was when we knew, we were like, we need to stay in the trees here. We need to stay slightly lower down, but also for the visibility, and probably not take the turns too quickly. We loved how the beauty of skiing through those trees while it's really snowing. And there's a fantastic video of Clow on our Instagram of the snow coming down with the backdrop in the mountains. And that will really show you what the visibility looked like compared to the snow coming down, because you can see a long way, but so much snow coming down in that video. Really cool. So we didn't really get much significant snow until we got out of Meierhofen. So when we were driving to Solden.
We actually have a fun story for you here. It was snowing so badly, but also in the highway, not only in resorts. So we were driving from Meierhofen to Solden. And in the highway, cars were going probably 50 miles per hour, very, very slow, because it was snowing heavily, heavily. The snowflakes were probably as big as my hand. And then when we arrived in resort, we were staying actually a little bit higher in a small village called Greece. And there was a 10 minutes way to go there from the resort itself. And we asked a lady, we were like, sorry, do you think it's safe to go up there now? Is the road clean? She said, no, absolutely not. Just wait here. You need to wait until tomorrow. We looked at each other. We're like, what do they know? We're going to go anyways.
The local that lives here clearly knows nothing. Yeah, great idea, guys. Yeah, just head up there. Don't worry. You've got snow tires on. You'll be fine. Bear in mind, this road was similar to Alpe d'Huez. Not as many turns, but a lot of
like
switchbacks.
Steep. And, well, short story, we got stuck uphill because the car wasn't going anymore. It was just sliding sideways. So we had to stop, and the angry lady that was driving the line bus started shouting at us. Oh. We created a full line of cars.
I think you mean me.
But then the next day we skied with a lot of fresh powder, which was incredible.
And just remind me, that was going up to Meyerhofen, did you say? From Meyerhofen, Solden.
Which, great ski area.
I mean, famous really for James Bond films, of course. And James Bond just would never have got stuck in the snow, would he? It would
never have happened. You're really hurting my pride here, Rob. I'm a big James Bond fan. But then the other time, so we were very fortunate in that sort of week, on our drive into Livigno.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It dumped, I reckon, about half a meter overnight. And Clow takes great joy of taking videos of me digging up the car each morning. because we got to our little Airbnb and we were staying in Trapale, which is like one of the connecting villages to the mountain. So it's just the other side of Livigno, but it's the same mountain. And we had to park down probably a 5 meter driveway, quite a steep downhill. And we got to the top of it and went, I'm not sure we're going to be able to drive down that because we'll just slide and smash into the cars at the bottom. But the Airbnb host was very keen that we did drive down it and park the car. Successfully got there and we looked at each other and went, well, there's no chance we're getting back up that in the morning, is there? So after an hour the next morning of digging out, honestly, knee-high snow, we concluded we were going to get the bus. So
a great idea.
I went to check out Aqua Grande, an enormous, very impressive, had more of a leisure center feel to it rather than a spa feel to it, if that makes sense. Very kids orientated. They've got a pool and a slide area. Fantastic for families. Clow actually went to the gym in there, which was really good.
I need some me time. I go to the gym, you go
to the gym. Livigno is a tax-free town, famously, isn't it? So did you take advantage of that when you were there?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, you can't take too much out of Livigno because they do stop you at the border on the way out. We made use of it to the extent that we could.
Nice. Sounds good. Enough said. Mm. And so the other thing is you stayed in a whole variety of places, from some fairly fantastic places to just regular Airbnb style apartments.
Yeah.
Thinking about the top end of the scale, let's say I've just got my bonus at work, if anybody's still getting bonuses, but let's say I've just got my bonus at work and I really want to go for it. Was there somewhere that you've stayed and you said, wow, this is pretty spectacular?
We probably mentioned it before and we loved the Lodgy in Saint-Martin.
Okay.
France. Wow. That was just incredible. We loved it. Yeah. Absolutely. We also had a balcony with the view on the slope, like right in front of us. So obviously that was a big perk.
Yeah. Well, that aside, obviously when you think luxury and sort of top end and where would you want to go, Switzerland is probably your first thought, for most people anyway. So we were fortunate enough to spend 4 nights across 2 different resorts in Switzerland, Grand Montana and Samoritz. And how did you find it, Clau?
Oh, I loved it. I already knew what to expect, but Saint Moritz just blew my mind. I loved it. The skiing is incredible. The village, obviously, I mean, I love these things, you know. I love shopping. I love great things in life. So for me, it was just the best.
Just so you know, listeners, we are on a video call at the moment. And Ben's eyes are currently kind of glazing over at that, and the rowan look on his face.
My life is going to be very expensive as a result of Clow, I think.
So this was a Fern hotel. This was a Fern hotel in Crans-Montana. They had partner hotels, and one in Crans-Montana, which is called
Fern Valaisia, isn't it? Fern Valaisia.
And then the one in Saint-Moritz, which is a partner hotel from the same group, is called...
Can you pronounce it? Because it's got a very long German name.
Oh, has it? I'll put it in the notes of the podcast.
It was something Arenas Resort, Silvera. Oh. That they were two contrasting. Was their sister hotels? Which, yeah. They had a different feel to it.
Yeah.
So Grand Montana probably had a bit more of a younger feel to it. You had a lot of young people around. You had a lot of people driving into there with pretty fancy cars. Won't lie.
A bit more modern made.
Yeah. Whereas the one in St. Moritz, which was just down the road in Sils Maria, we thought it had a bit more of an older generation feel to it.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of maybe more retired people there that were coming to really enjoy the spa and take life a little bit easier. It also had a really cool downstairs games room. So you had like electronic darts, you had a pool table. So there was a really good section for kids. And we did see a lot of three-generation families there. So you had the grandparents, the parents, and the kids. It felt like a really good place as a family holiday where maybe mum and dad leave the kids with the grandparents and you can ski for the morning.
You could tell from the fact that, for example, in the hotel in St. Moritz, there was like a meet and greet with the director of the hotel to ask if everything was okay, what would we enjoy the most. And he just took like an hour of his time in the evening in the bar area to go around tables, sit down with every person, and introduce himself and asking questions. And the chef as well was coming out and asking, like, is food okay? Would you like to see something different? Did you like it? And yeah, I thought that was very Swiss as a thing.
That's very cool. That's really nice. Yeah. So you've experienced like every end of the scale, from the snowy to the rainy to the top end to the less top end. There's some fantastic highlight moments there. On how will you go back to normality?
With tears in our eyes and
and a lot less money.
Yes. That is a very good point. I got far too excited.
You got 20. You've had 24 this winter. You've had 24 resorts, but you've got to go on a ski holiday for 1 week only next winter.
That's a
where
good question
are you going to go?
Because there are some resorts where I would go for a full week, and there are some resorts where I would go for a weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tell me then, where would you go for 1 week, and where would you go for a weekend?
If I was going for a full week, I think I would go to Les Des Alpes.
Okay.
Wow.
Because of that range of bars that you've got, restaurants. And the skiing, you're up at 3,600 meters. So we've talked about variability in weather forecasts and things. The snow surety there is fantastic. So if you're banking on a week and things like that, really good chance of having good snow. But
I would go also back to probably Saint Martin or in the Three Valleys in general, because you have such a big variety of slopes to cover that you never get bored, really. One day you want to ski Maribel, one day you want to ski Courchevel, one day Maribel was actually very nice. I would go back there, definitely. You just never get bored, right? So if you want to be for a full week, you probably want to pick somewhere where it's got a bigger
area to ski,
yeah.
Okay. It also depends on your actual skiing ability, because it's all well and good having a massive area to ski. If you as a group of people going are only a beginner to an intermediate, you don't need an enormous area to ski because you're not going to
come. Exactly.
So it really depends what you're looking for as a group of skiers. But where I'd go for 3 or 4 days, Ischgl, hands down. It was one of those resorts that we discovered. Like, Ischgl isn't massive with the British. It's there's St. Anton, its neighbour, just down the road, massive with the British. I really enjoyed Ischgl. The slopes there, one of the things that we've really come to realize is looking at a piste map to decide on whether or not the ski area is for you, not the greatest thing to do in the world. You really want to hear people about how they found it, because they're very misleading is what we found. Whereas Ischgl, we found never felt like we were always on a lift, because the runs are quite long. And they're so well structured, and the infrastructure is so new and quick.
Yeah.
You're skiing each run to get into a new area. You're not taking traversing paths to get into a different area. You're really skiing the whole day, even though you're moving around a big area. And you can ski across into Switzerland, into Samnaun, which is beautiful. They've got a river running alongside the path.
Nice,
really, really nice. But the Apres there was top three, I think we went to. And we were only there for three nights. And one night we were just shattered from the skiing. So we were like, right, we're going to have a quieter night this night. So we actually did four of their major Apres bars in one evening, which really, really hurt the next day.
I saw the countdown on the social sites, and I was wondering whether you'd actually get to the fourth one or not. But it was an impressive. It was an impressive undertaking, that's for sure.
So, Cloud, come on, weekend special weekend. No kind of no money is not an object here, and you know where are you going to go? Dump Moritz for the weekend. Okay, so you need to fly in with a private plane into the airport in St. Ritz then, because it's quite a long way from any...
No, money's not a problem, right?
Stop giving our ideas, right. Rob.
Fly in with a private plane, because St. Ritz is not close to any big airport, but you can, of course, fly straight in there in a
small... Yeah, you can, yeah.
I'm from Tuscany, and I drove my whole life to the Dolomites, which is about, depending on which resort you go to, is six, 7, 8 hours of driving. So for me, driving is not a problem. When he says, oh, but it's not close, very close to the airport, aka 1 hour, I say, for me, it's not a problem. Like, you just, like...
Especially when you've got a helicopter from Zurich to St. Moritz or a private plane, you can just fly into the airport. Really...
Chamonix, probably, if you don't want to drive too much, because Chamonix is very close to the airport.
Yeah.
Otherwise, in Austria as well, I would definitely go back to Saalbach, because it's got the ski circus in terms of skiing. I'm still talking skiing wise, because obviously if you go for a weekend, you go there to ski, right?
Yeah.
A lot. And Saalbach has the ski circus, and it's incredible ski area. And we tried to finish it, so we actually didn't manage to.
What, in a day?
Yeah. So I think you have to 32 or 33 lifts. It's a long way. They reckon it takes you 7 hours if you're a good intermediate skier. I would consider ourselves good intermediate skiers. My knees, probably a 80-year-old man by that point of the trip. So they just couldn't hack it. I think we got to lift 20, 21, something like that, at about 1:30, 2:00. And we looked at it and went, if we really pushed on, we'd still make it. But I'm not sure our knees are going
to
hack
that. It's a tall order to do that area in a day for any ability level, because there's so many lifts. So
guys, it's fantastic to hear all of this detail on these trips. What we're planning to do, just for the listener's sake, is we're going to do a series of 3 or 4 episodes where we're going to nail down into each resort that you've been to. We're going to do that in a few weeks' time and probably launch that ready for next season, so that everybody gets a much better flavour for every resort that you've been to. I know that we don't want to hold you back any longer, because you're mid-packing to go off somewhere far sunnier than some of the places that you've just been to.
A little bit of sun. Maybe we can do some sand skiing. Who knows?
Maybe you can do some sand skiing. Yeah, absolutely. We wish you safe travels on your next trip. Thanks very much for coming on today. It's been absolutely brilliant to hear some of the advice that you've offered today. It's absolutely invaluable. You are certainly very valuable assets to a lot of your friends who want to go skiing now, for sure.
We'd like to think so. But we had a fantastic time. So we've really loved it, and been great working with you guys. So we look forward to it.
Great stuff. Safe travels, and thanks very much for joining us.
See you later, guys. To the
Cheers. Thanks. Bye. Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Klaus.
I mean, what an incredible trip. I mean, I don't have many regrets in life, but I am looking back with a bit of FOMO, thinking, wow, I wish I'd have done something like that.
You know, when you look at the history of skiing journalism, going back maybe, 30 to 40 years, and some of the sort of things that used to be done back in the day, that probably haven't happened more recently. I'm just harking back to things like, when Arnie Wilson went around the world and skied all these different resorts, but that wouldn't happen today. But what Ben and Clow have done, have kind of just done that.
Modern day versions. Yeah.
Modern day version. And they've gone and they've found out so much about those places when they've been there, and now they can talk about them in a different way. We're in a different era now. We talk about it on here on the podcast. They're showing people what they're doing on social media. They're doing it through the digital channels of In the Snow.
Well, I was looking yesterday at exactly what you say there, that on Instagram there's been over 3.8 million video plays on our channel since they started this 24/24, 40,000 engagements in the story. So, this is large numbers of people being able to cash in on this content and actually really see in depth detail about what these resorts are actually like, not just what it says on a web page somewhere by somebody who maybe hasn't even visited the location. I think it's great seeing that firsthand knowledge from people that are actually there, actually talking about it, actually skiing, actually eating out. And I think that's hugely valuable. You know, it's just great.
Obviously, we both work in a media environment, and we're constantly talking about the changing face of the media, how things are changing. What's coming out of this is actually working, right?
Yeah.
You can see the numbers. You know, we it's clear, it's transparent.
Yep.
It's there and it's instant.
You know, I know that we're going to be running a series of podcasts ready for next season, a series of three podcasts where we'll delve into each of those resorts in a lot more detail. And there'll also be YouTube videos, resort guide videos on each of those 24 resorts on the In the Snow Mag YouTube channel as well. So that'll be really interesting as well, that people can really cash in on that firsthand, modern day, right up to the minute content.
Absolutely. And I think it's worth pointing out, Dom, as well, worth saying that, you know, we're not asking Ben and Clow, as interviewers, we're not giving them guidelines on what to say.
No.
You know, they are being completely honest about their experiences in each resort.
So great to hear from Ben and Clow this week. Rob, you've just been off to Corinthia, which we're going to hear about next time, no doubt. Any more trips on the scene before we sign off for today?
Oh, I'm camping in the Peak District next week, in the middle of winter still, Dom. Yes, all good fun, that is, isn't it?
You're going to love that.
I am visiting Teen the week after as well for a couple of days. I've got to head in there for a quick in and out, you know.
Very good.
And looking forward to that, because there's absolutely stacks of snow in the Alps right now, above 1800 meters, and it's really, really fantastic conditions in some of those resorts right now in the French Swiss Alps and into Austria as well.
Sounds great, Rob. Have safe journeys, have good camping. I hope you enjoy that. I'm sure we'll be covering that in some of our more spring-like episodes. Let's hope you get a warm enough weekend that you don't freeze overnight. In the meantime, good luck to Ben and Clout on their travels. And listeners, don't forget to leave a review for us. As we say each week, it's the only thing we ask of you, and it's the easiest way for other like-minded skiers and outdoor mountain travelers to find us. So do leave a review for the Whiteout podcast, and tell your mates, Rob, have a good one.
Cheers, Dom.
Good to see you.
Should I say Dominic Kalinja?
Adios.
No, talkie walkie.
Pretty sure it's called a walkie talkie, mate.